Welcome to The Short Score, your weekly update of team roping news from across the industry, where you can find the latest on the sport from the pro rodeo ranks to the jackpot world. I'm Taylor Vollen, and I'm your host. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Short Score. Summertime is finally here, which means that you will be hearing a lot more of my voice as the summer run picks up. It is finally that time of year, and we kind of welcomed summer in with a busy weekend. Not this past weekend, but the first weekend of June. We ended May and kicked off June with a pretty big rodeo with the second annual Music City Rodeo in Nashville. Jake Smith and Douglas Rich took home the win in Nashville with a 15-1 on three head. They took home $7,982 apiece between the average and the round one win. Things were a little different in Nashville this year with the Music City Rodeo. Last year, in its debut year, it was a one-header, whereas this year it was two rounds and a progressive third round. So the top 30 teams this year in the Slack advanced to the third round. Also different this year was that the Slack was held just outside of Nashville in Franklin, Tennessee, and those setups were actually a little different from what I've heard from the guys between Franklin and Nashville. As for Jake and Doug, this win moved them to number two in the world standings with over $66,000 won on the year, so definitely a nice little confidence boost heading into the ever so busy summer. They have been on quite the roll too, which I'm sure everybody already knows about, but specifically on the jackpot side. So Jake recently won $6,700 with Paul Eves for third at the World Series of Team Ripon Qualifier in Hamilton, Texas, followed by splitting second at the Danny Dietz Memorial with him. And then Jake and Doug rolled into the Cody Neesmith Memorial and won second for $30,000. And lastly, Jake rounded out his jackpot roll with the Prefort Ranch Open win with Paul for another $15,000. So definitely really on a roll right now. Good for those guys. And I really enjoyed my conversation with Jake. Our girl Callie had a really nice conversation with Doug as well. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this. They had a lot to say about the Nashville win, the confidence this gives them, and plenty more things that I think you're going to enjoy, like I said, in this episode of The Short Score, which is brought to you by SmartPak and Colic Care, an innovative approach to hindgut health and colic prevention. Designed with research-backed ingredients and a unique support program, Colic Care helps protect what matters most, your horse's health. Learn more at smartpakequine.com. How was Nashville? I mean, kind of, you know, what did that look like? Tell me about it.
Oh, it was great. I mean, that's a pretty big rodeo. Last year was a one-header, and mm-hmm. So this year is a little different, for sure, it being a three-header, a two, and a progressive round type deal. But it's always nice to have a big rodeo like that and to do good at it right before you leave for the summer. I mean, heck, that's always nice. So anyway, it was good to do that. I set it up the best, I feel like. And I mean, it wasn't like that was our plan or really anything, mm-hmm. but for us to win the first round, us to have a, you know, go 4-5 in the first round and kind of have it set up. We were fairly early in the Slack, not super early, but we were before halfway. And so you don't really know how it's going to end up. You know, you don't know if, I mean, you know, you kind of had a somewhat of an idea, like whenever we went, I mean, there was maybe 1 4-second run in mm-hmm. front of us, I think, at that time before we'd went. I think Ketch and Denton had went 4-7, and that was it. But there was still 50 teams after us or more. I think we were 20-something. So, you know, you don't really know for sure. But, I mean, had a great steer, and then you go 4-5, and then at the end of the round, you know, you win the round, and then you can kind of see where everybody's at. Mm-hmm. And then now we're towards the end of the second round. And so then, you know, you have a pretty good idea what you need to do to be in certain spots. And so, and then had another decent cow, and then we're right there in the middle of it. But like the first run set that up huge. And then the other good thing is we were Saturday, and all of the teams that was ahead of us, mm-hmm. all of the teams that was ahead of us went either Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
So we knew exactly what we needed to do to go to the lead. And then I knew who was left behind us too. I mean, mm-hmm. I knew Nelson and Jonathan were the team that was pretty close. I mean, they were the next closest team to me that hadn't roped yet. And I knew I had a little bit. I mean, I knew they were 11 11-1, I think. They were 11-flat, 11-1, and then I was 9-5. So I knew I had a little bit of time there. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I knew I basically needed to get ahead of Marcus and them. And then I thought, well, I mean, if I went some kind of – just like I did, I thought Nelson and them can get me still. But they're going to have to make a really good run. And like I said, I didn't really think about too much of the times. I knew what I wanted to accomplish was riding my horse and turning the cow. And so I didn't let the time say what it says.
Mm-hmm. How was going from the Franklin building to the Nashville building? Like, were they pretty similar or?
Not at all. that's what I was curious of what it would be like.
Yeah.
Because, for example, you know, so you do that kind of same thing at San Angelo.
Yes,
so at San Angelo this year, we were up in the other building. Well, at San Angelo, you reopened two separate buildings, but the barrier was it stayed the exact same. Mm-hmm. It was the same at the, I think that's the Spur Arena, as it was in the Coliseum. It was the exact same. So there was no difference, just say the same thing. I mean, the only difference is you know it's a four-header,
mm-hmm.
so maybe you don't have to press as hard because you know it being a four-header, you can kind of maybe take it a little bit different. But I didn't call and ask or check or anything going to Franklin to see what it would be like.
Mm-hmm.
I had been to the building before, and so I knew it was a bigger arena than it would be inside Nashville. But, I didn't know how the barrier would set up.
Yeah.
But I got to ride that horse, and so I knew I would be able to, and that's my friends Ben and Sarah Nelms that horse. His name's Chavez, and so I knew if it was faster set up or if it was a little bit longer, I knew I would be able to do either one at Franklin, and so I took him for that very reason, because I was like, well, if it's fast, I can still ride him. If it's a little longer, I can still ride him. It wouldn't be mm-hmm. too terrible either way. And then so it was even over there. So it was 3 foot shorter at Nashville compared to there at Franklin.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, at Franklin, yeah, obviously it's way different. I mean, it was different. But I was 20-something, so you got to watch the barrier and kind of watch the steers. It was the steers from the Cody Neesmith, so I knew they was going to be sharper and stuff that. So everybody kind of had an idea of what the steers was going to be, or everybody that went to the roping. And then if they didn't go to the roping, then they could ask, you know, hey, those are the ones we just roped, they're going to be a little sharper and stuff. So I feel like everybody had a pretty good idea of what the steers was going to be like. And then even barrier, you kind of know what the start's going to be and stuff. And then when it got to... when it switches in there, I mean, the NFR is a 4 foot under, and so Nashville's 3 foot under, so it's fairly similar to that. You know, you can take a pretty good start at it. And again, I go back to just the way things set up and all the guys that it had went before me, and like I knew what I needed to do. And so it helped me to kind of have a little bit easier game plan than what I thought I was going to have to be. I thought I was going to have to go a little bit faster, mm-hmm. but shoot, just unfortunate for the other guys, and it made it a little bit easier on me.
Yeah.
So
tell me more about this Chavez horse. You rode him on all three steers, or?
I rode him on all three. So,
okay.
Like I said, my friends Ben and Sarah Nelms on him. So they bought that horse, and they had him. They bought him young, and I actually think Caleb will probably try to take the credit, but I'm not going to give it to Caleb. I think it was his dad, Nick. Actually, I think rode that horse. I think Ben and them rode it for a while, and then Nick Driggers roped on it some, and then I think then they Ben and them got it back, and something like that, back and forth there a little bit, and then. I guess I've had him for a couple years, something like that, 2.5 years, something like that.
Okay.
Which I've known Ben for a long time. He used to flag ropings back east and everything, like over there, that direction,
mm-hmm.
Murfreesboro and all that stuff. And so I knew him before. And so they had bought a horse from me, and then he told me, he's like, hey, whenever I come pick that horse up. He said, I got one I want you to sell for me. He said, he may be good enough for you. But anyway, so I rode the horse, and at first the horse felt okay, but it took a little bit of time. And that was what was so great about them, is they was in no hurry at all. You know, they weren't pushing me or rushing me or anything like that. And so, like, I was able to keep riding him for a while, and I rode him for a while. And then, like, I would take him and maybe kind of ride him as a backup for a jackpot. Or sub him in. I took him to an amateur rodeo. And then I guess last year I rode him at they had the Kid Rock rodeo deal in Fort Worth. They had that, the smaller one. And somebody couldn't go or something, so I had to fill in. Me and Doug filled in for another team that couldn't go. And I rode him there, and he felt great. Mm-hmm. And then I left from there, and I wound up riding him in the semifinals and the finals at Denver.
Oh, really?
And that was the first time I really took him any – that was the first pro rodeo he had ever been to, with me, for sure. And so I won the semifinals on him, and then me and Doug ended up winning second in the average on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so – heck, I was super excited to take him with me that last summer. And I took him with me to California and stuff, and I'd kind of jackpot on him a little bit here and there, and I was excited to take him, and then he got hurt. And so I wasn't able to ride him all summer. And then whenever I got home, he was good. And so I rode him a little bit, and then I rode him like 3 rounds at the NFR last year.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep, so I rode Friendly most of the time at the NFR, but right. I rode Chavez like 3 rounds at the NFR.
Gotcha. I feel dumb because I thought he looked familiar, but I didn't know why.
Yep, that's him. And so I rode him there, and then so I've just been kind of riding him. I've been riding him some here and there this winter. Like Angelo, mm-hmm. I rode him in the first 2 rounds at San Angelo, and then whenever I went back and I rode Friendly
mm-hmm.
inside in the Coliseum, and I rode Friendly in the 3rd and 4th round. But I rode Chavez there, and so it's nice to have him. And like I said, they're great friends, and they let me take him and ride him, and so it's hard to beat people like that that want to see a guy do good and help you out. So huge thanks to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, you brought it up, or you mentioned it earlier a little bit, but I mean, you're on quite the momentum right now, and like you said, perfect time going into the summer. I mean, like, what does your confidence look like right now?
So it's one of those deals to where, you know, that's what everybody's like, man, this and that, but which I've tried to, especially over the last few years, as I've got older, I've tried to get smarter. It don't always work that way, but I've tried to do things a little bit different as far as, and I know that's one reason why I've had better success over the last few years too, is, and I mean, heck, you hear that and it says it in the Bible, and you know, you try, but you never let your highs be too high or your lows be too low. And so I try to do that, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. because yes, the winning is great and that's awesome, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to want to win the next time you go. So it's not like one string of wins and you're good. No, I mean, everybody wants to win every time they back in the box, no matter where it's at. And so I try to just, hey, I mean, that's not where my peace comes from.
Yeah.
And so, I try not to let anything get me too up, too down ever, because it's easy to let that happen. Mm-hmm. especially the down part the down part, those are the hard ones, but for sure it's huge as far as financially. You know, you got a little bit of stuff, you know, because we leave and we still got to pay bills at home, and
right.
So it's huge for financial reasons for that, to kind of help kickstart that. And then yes, for one, I hadn't got to ride that horse Chavez at a whole lot of rodeos and stuff like that. And so even if you really like a horse, to ride him at a rodeo and to do good on, have success on at a rodeo, it's great confidence for that. And then, so that's huge to kind of get going, and to know that you and your partner's run is, you know,
mm-hmm.
good enough. And so, Yeah, that's all huge to going into the summer right here and stuff. I mean, it don't mean anything at the end of the day, really. I mean, mm-hmm. you're still gonna have to catch when you show up.
Right.
But it is nice to at least have a base, like, hey, I've done that before. I know I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't fight it, and that's what we practice for every day, and just try to do your deal.
Yeah.
And not get in your own head.
I like the mindset, and okay, this might sound silly, but I feel like it works, because I feel like you see your guys who, like, they really thrive in the winter. You know what I mean? And then you have your guys mm-hmm. who they really thrive over the fourth. And I feel like you and Doug just, I mean, you guys, maybe I'm wrong, you might disagree, but you seem so even keel throughout the year. Like, you guys just steady rock along, I feel like.
Me and Doug joke quite a bit. We're not usually normal. Just like at Nashville, for instance, us winning the first round, usually that doesn't happen. Usually we're the guys that'll sneak up from the back. Usually usually by the time the short round rolls around, we haven't won a dime.
Oh my God.
And then short round gets there, and we might sneak up there and win fourth or fifth. And so we joke about that all the time. It was kind of weird for us at Nashville to get the first round win. But no, I mean, like I said, everybody's got their own way of doing things and stuff, and so, and everybody's different too. So yes, yeah. I mean, one thing's not going to work for everybody, and everybody's got their own way. But yes, at the end of the day, that's mine and Doug's. That's what we both, and it's so great to have somebody who has the same mindset as you, and who, you know, they know what's coming, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And like, and yes, me and Doug, the goal is, yeah, we're going to try to get out of the barrier and turn the cow. And he, I mean, most of the time he tracks him a long ways, but most of the time he's going to catch 2 feet, you know, and we're going to win what we win and go on, you know, we're fine with that. You know, and then there's times to where, you know, different scenarios to where, hey, first, you know, but mm-hmm. But especially like at the averages and stuff like that and the jackpots and everything. But yes, me and him are the guys that I don't know, and that's what's so great about Doug is he don't get stirred up over nothing.
No.
and it makes it so nice to back in there and have somebody like that over there that, you know, it don't matter, catch, miss, whatever, you know, you got a friend over there that knows you're trying your best and knows we're wanting to win just mm-hmm. as bad as he is and knows that we're both putting in the effort and like I said, it makes it so much easier and nicer to have that. But not everybody has that same mindset, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. But a guy's gotta figure out what works for him, and it just seems to be way less stressful on me to, like I said, don't get too high, too low, and
yeah,
because at the end of the day, it don't matter. I mean, everybody wants to win, everybody loves this and that, but I mean, like I said, the roping deal is definitely not priority number one, and it's what we do, and it's what good Lord has blessed us and let us get to do. And so, like I said, that's as long as that's first, as long as Jesus first, then everything else don't matter. It'll fall in where it's supposed to be.
I love that. This episode is brought to you by SmartPak and Colicare. Colic is one of the leading causes of emergency vet visits, and it's something every horse owner worries about. That's why SmartPak developed Colicare, a comprehensive approach to hindgut health and colic prevention. Colicare combines targeted digestive support with a program designed to help you stay ahead of potential issues, not just react to them. It's built on research, formulated to support a healthy gut environment, and backed by a unique benefit. Eligible horses enrolled in the program may receive up to $15,000 in colic surgery reimbursement. Whether you're hauling, training hard, or just managing day-to-day stressors, your horse's digestive system is constantly under pressure. Colicare is designed to help you manage those risks with confidence. Visit smartpackequine.com to learn more about how Colicare can support your horse's long-term health.
All right, so let's talk about Nashville. So have you ever done any good there before? I know they haven't had it there very long.
Last year was the first year they had it, I think, and we did place last year.
Cool.
It was a one-header last year, and we went over there, roped in a slack. Yeah, we didn't win. I mean, we maybe won bottom hole, but we did win a little bit, I think.
Nice. So then with it being an average and kind of different this year, talk to me about that win. How cool was that?
It was – shoot, anytime you do good, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But going over there, like we won, it was a – everybody run two, and they bring the top 30 back for the progressive rounds.
Right.
So it's not really, it wasn't really like a short round, but it was like just another kind of like Guyman almost set up. We had a great steer on the first one, won the first round. Come back on a pretty good steer, made a decent run, no money in the second round, but set us up pretty good where if we catch another one, it have a good chance to place in the average, we figured.
Right.
I think maybe we were like the third fastest on after two.
Uh-huh.
And so we which we went Saturday night, and I think a lot of the other teams, the couple teams that were ahead of us and a couple teams that were right behind us had already went.
Right.
And they didn't have any luck. So we knew if we just made a decent run, we would win no worse than second or third.
Right.
And happened to be just fast enough to win it. So it worked out pretty good for us.
Perfect. So what, I mean, obviously the arenas were different between like where y'all run your first two and then you come into the little building. Kind of talk to me about that and what that kind of, how different that was.
It was, so the arena at Franklin was quite a bit bigger.
Right.
And I think the barrier was a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then inside it was kind of more like an NFR setup. Barrier was pretty short, arena right. Small. Not the easiest spot where if you just have to catch sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, our steer stayed dead straight, maybe even like a step to the right, so it made it
perfect.
It made it nice to just have to catch and win something.
Right. Were they the same set of steers?
Same steers, yeah. Cool. We roped them at the Cody Neesmith a couple days before in the open down there, and then they went to Franklin.
Nice.
And then I don't know how they picked the 30, if maybe they, the teams that made it back, their steers is how they do it, and then you draw from out of there. But
right,
we drew pretty dang good steers, so it made it a little better.
Awesome. So with y'all going Saturday night, like, do you and Jake as a team, do y'all kind of talk about it, like make a game plan, like, hey, let's just go get him down or let's go fast? Do y'all talk about that at all, or y'all just kind of take what the steer gives you and go from there?
Yeah, we talk about it. Sometimes we don't always execute it, but we talk about what we're trying to do anyway. Right. But like a deal like that, like we try to not really. We didn't try to be aggressive in the first round necessarily,
because
it is an average. Like it's what you're shooting for at the end. But it is nice. Like we had a good steer, and was able to maybe not make a crazy run, but was decently fast. So we already had a little money won.
Right.
And so that made it nice. Then whenever we kind of had to, if we just caught, then we could win something good in the average and win a little more. So it, luckily our game plan worked out this week.
Yeah. Perfect. So, last time I checked, you're sitting second in the world, got about 66,000 won. So, and it's June 1 and it's summertime. So talk to me about how this helps having a good little run like that. And seems like you're tapped off and everything's kind of clicking for y'all right before going into the summer and how important that is heading into the next couple months.
Yeah, no, for sure. It helps a lot. Like having a little bit of money won, not saying that we're even close to where we need to be, like the end goal. We still need to do good this summer, but it dang sure helps to where, you know, we've been catching and got some momentum going, and then just like we're home for a week right here, and then we leave and go to Woodward and start going a bunch, and then we're gone from home, so no more practicing really, or, you know, so being on a roll dang sure helps your confidence and everything with being gone for a few months right here, and then thanks for hopefully can keep it rolling, I think.
For sure. So what does this look like right here before you, like, are we running a bunch of practice cattle? Are we getting our horses legged up? Like, what's, or not legged up, but kept up. What is right before you leave? What does that look like for y'all?
Pretty much just getting everything situated at the house to be gone. Like I got rid of all my steers. I'm going to try to run some for sure a couple days this week.
Yeah.
Taking my horses to the vet, getting them injected, whatever they need to feel good, feel their best. And then just a lot of packing.
Getting ready.
A lot of packing. We're going to have a little, oh, she's 7 months old now, but
oh, goodness.
She, we got more stuff for her that can, we don't even know if it'll all fit, but we just hanging out, really kind of trying not to, I don't know, you kind of work yourself up to where it's, but it just relaxing a little bit before we get so busy.
Right.
And dang sure roping some, but I've got rid of a few horses and sent some home of some people that I was riding, and so there won't be anything at the house. No one has to take care of, and we'll take everything that we still got there. So
perfect.
But just kind of getting everything ready to go before we'll be gone for these few months.
For sure. Speaking of horses, what were you healing on at Nashville?
So I rode a horse. His name's Kid Rock.
Uh-huh.
Actually, just I borrowed him. One of my horses hadn't been feeling the best. He was, and so I borrowed that horse,
uh-huh.
and ended up I just bought it after that, and so I'm gonna have him this summer.
Good. Is that the Kid Rock from
Paul?
Paul rode it. Yeah.
The Coulter rode it, and then J.C. Flake owned him when I rode him there, and then I'm all in the process of trying to buy him so I can have him for the summer. It's a really good horse.
Yeah. Awesome. Was he what you rode in Mount Pleasant too? Same horse?
Yep, same horse. I rode him pretty much everywhere last week. Hamilton, Danny Dietz.
Nice.
Rode my other horse some off and on, but had both of them.
Cool.
And then I took him to Cody Neesmith, rode him at the Cody Neesmith in Nashville and the Mount Pleasant Roping.
Sweet. What about him do you like so much? Like, I know you said he's a good horse, but like, what about him fits your style, do you think?
He can really run, uh-huh. and is a lot of horse. And he's really free rolling, like down the arena, wants to get over the steer.
Yeah.
And I almost need something like that because I don't kick very good. Like I kind of like a horse to carry me down the arena and want to get over the steer on their own. And so I think that just makes it a pretty good fit. He feels a lot like my other bay, the bay that I rode at the BFI.
Yeah.
Them two horses feel very similar. So pretty excited to have both of them this summer.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what would you say? I mean, you and Jake have roped together long enough now.
Yep.
Like what about y'all's run works in your opinion? Like, what y'all have had some success obviously, but what about it makes that go, you think?
I think we have a pretty high catch percentage.
Uh-huh.
We don't win a lot of firsts, like at the one headers and stuff. Like I would say we're definitely not the fastest team
uh-huh.
out there, but we catch quite a few, seems like.
Uh-huh.
And so if you can win a lot of third, fourth, fifth, but you're catching a lot every week, it seems like it's easy to get in a rhythm where, you know, then if you happen to draw the best steer,
uh-huh.
then you might be fast enough to win first.
For sure.
At some of that stuff. We don't win a lot of ropings, but we place a lot, it seems like.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of like that, like knowing that, got a guy up there that is going to get out of the barrier and turn a bunch of steers and let me kind of get in a rhythm back there where I'm getting a lot of looks
yeah.
and healing a bunch of steers. Seems to have worked pretty good for us so far.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm sure, especially in the summer when there's so many different things y'all go to, that it never hurts yep. to have a guy that you know is gonna at least give you an opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. Even like I said, even if we might not be the fastest team, we seem to catch a bunch, and I like that.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Short Score. Like I said, this is going to be a fun summer, and you're going to hear a lot from me, more than likely, and most importantly, hear a lot from the guys. So I hope you're looking forward to it. Once again, thanks to SmartPak and Colicare for sponsoring this episode. If you are looking to take a proactive approach to your horse's digestive health, check out Colicare at smartpackequine.com.